Thanks, Andy. Good virtual morning to this virtual morning service. And off to the east, that's almost east, through that little portal, I guess we have the eastern half of the congregation today, as Andy mentioned, Eau Claire is looking in. I wish we could see you through that little portal over there. Welcome to Pentecost 2019. It's a day observed by so much of professing Christianity and Judaism for that fact. But professing Christians who probably celebrated it right here in this room this morning probably don't even realize, most of them don't even realize that Pentecost is a biblical holy day. You know, it's in the Bible, but they don't realize it's a holy day. It has so much meaning, of course, but it is so little understood. So in this, I get through the first message on this day, I'd like to just make one point about today, and that it celebrates the end of the first harvest. It's no secret, not difficult to understand, but it's already been mentioned, but it's easy to forget, because here in Minnesota, this is not the time of the harvest. Many of you maybe just planted your garden or haven't yet. Some of the farmers haven't finished or have barely finished planting their crops. It's only springtime, you know. But the farming cycle in Israel was different. Today was the end of the harvest season. The end of this harvest, not the beginning. So I'd like to break this point down into three principles, related principles today. Number one is that the holy days are all tied to the state of the crops. They're definitely tied to the historical story of the Exodus, of course, and many lessons to be learned there. But the story itself of the Exodus is tied to a particular season. If you recall, among the 10 plagues of Egypt, the seventh plague of the 10 plagues was hail. And in Exodus 9, it says about the plague of hail that the barley was ruined because it was, quote, in the ear. And in the Hebrew, the word in the ear is abib, or aviv, maybe pronounced in Hebrew. It means that the barley had formed its tender grains. And the barley was ruined by the hail because its grains had already formed and the hail knocked them off. And because the Exodus occurred in that particular season of the year, the holy days must also begin always at the full moon of that particular season. And that month, when the holy days begin, is always the month of the Abib, the word that's used there in Exodus 9:31. In the time of Moses, the months did not have names. They just had numbers. The first month is not named Abib. The first month is to be the lunar cycle when the Abib happens. The Abib is just a Hebrew word from a root that means tender, the tender seeds. When the barley begins to produce heads of tender seeds, that is the Abib of the barley. And God directed that the month when the barley reaches the Abib, that's to be the first month. For example, in Exodus 34:18. Speaking of the Abib, the Feast of Unleavened Bread you shall keep. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you. In the time of the month Abib, it looks like it's the name of the month, but it's not. It means in the time of the month of the Abib. For in the month of the Abib you came out of Egypt. In the springtime. In Israel, of course, the planting begins in the fall after the feast. And that's when the former rains come. They loosen the soil. And in Israel, they planted barley and wheat. It's watered by the watery, rainy months of December through February. And then the latter rains come in the spring, in March and April, and bring the grain up. Then the holy days are always to begin at the full moon when the first wave sheaf can be harvested. Just as the barley was in the Abib during the plagues of Egypt. It has to be at that time. So we follow a calendar that's based on the crop cycles of the promised land. and therefore all the holy days are tied to the state of the crops. Second, Pentecost is the end of that harvest. Note that the harvest that we are celebrating today could not begin until the crops reach that state, Leviticus 23. I think John was there yesterday, verse 10. Speak to the children of Israel, say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap the harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf or an omer, as John pointed out yesterday, of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. This is the wave sheaf, the first omer. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought that offering unto your God. So the grain harvest, the whole spring grain harvest could not begin until the ceremony. This, of course, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the beginning of the first fruits, the first of the first fruits. And verse 15, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the wave sheaf offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. That's till today. 7 weeks till today. The barley and the wheat reach the Abib on the moisture of the latter rains in April and March, March and April. And then 7 weeks brings them to fully ripe, which brings them to today. Ends today, the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. And then, starting in May and continuing on through the summer, there's no more rain. Not in Israel. No more rain. It's dry, completely dry. No field crops can grow in Israel after today. And following Pentecost, then we have the summer, and the only fruits that are ripening are the fruits of the vines and the trees. And they're harvested late in the summer and in the fall, even after the feast. So today is a day of harvest, at the end of the harvest. Why then is the word first fruits associated with today? Well, it has to do with the offering. Notice, we're in Leviticus 23, verse 17. Notice the offering. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenths deals. These are the 2 omers, as John pointed out yesterday. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. The offering was of the first fruits. These 2 leaven loaves were baked from the flour that was made from the very first wheat that was harvested in that summer's harvest. Back in Leviticus 2, it describes the first fruit offerings, this kind of an offering that was to be made. I won't turn there, but Leviticus 2:14 describes it this way. You shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green ears, literally abib, abib ears, green, dried by the fire, grain beaten out of full ears. So these would be the tender kernels from the beginning of the harvest, but they are dried, and then they are turned into flour, and the offering, then, is the first fruits of the first fruits of the harvest, made on the end of the harvest on Pentecost. The feast itself, you'll find, actually never called first fruits in the Scripture. The offering is of the first fruits. The feast is of the harvest. And, by the way, and speaking of offerings today, on the day of Pentecost, besides the offering of the first fruits, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16, verse 10 says, and you shall keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord your God with a tribute of freewill offering of your hand, that's today, which you shall give unto the Lord your God according as the Lord your God has blessed you, as he has blessed you. This is not the first fruit offering. Now, this is a peace offering. A peace offering is described in Leviticus 7 was either grain offering or a meat offering that you give as God has blessed you. It's a peace offering, one kind of peace offering can be a thank offering, and that's looks like what was offered on this day, a thank offering. It was eaten. Part of it was burnt, but most of it was eaten by the offerer and those who were keeping the feast. We are imitating that in a sense today. We are going to give an offering. But, of course, the snacks that you brought are not that offering. We're not going to eat the offering. Your offering is in your pocket. We'll be taking it up shortly. Number 3, Pentecost is prophetic. Because it celebrates the end of the harvest, Pentecost is prophetic. How can I say that when the first Pentecost of 31 AD was so dramatic? Are we not commemorating the birth of the church, the beginning of the church? And, well, it's true that the first Pentecost was dramatic beginning of that harvest, but it's also a fact that Pentecost is at the end of the harvest. Clearly at the end of the harvest that is not completed yet. Notice how Christ pictures this harvest in John chapter 4. John 4 and verse 35. It begins with an expression that says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest?" Nobody really knows where that expression comes from, but it must have been some common expression of the time that meant something like, it's winter time, it's a long way to the harvest yet. 4 months till the harvest. But Jesus said this is not true. Notice what he says in verse 35. "Behold, I say it to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Obviously, the world's people are his harvest, the spiritual harvest. But to what does Christ compare those people? What crop? He says the harvest is in the fields. The fields are white with harvest. Not the vines, not the trees, but the fields. That's the barley and the wheat. It is white with harvest. What turns white before you harvest it? It is the dried grain. So Christ is picturing here our work as the harvest of the crop that is in the fields, which is the harvest that ends today, Pentecost. And that's why my title is Pentecost, the Fields Are White. And notice how Christ describes the work that is still before us. Verse 36. "And he that reaps receives wages," if you're going to work in this harvest, "and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together." Definitely a spiritual analogy here to a harvest, to eternal life. Verse 37. "And herein is that saying true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap whereon you'd bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you have entered into their labors." So generation after generation of the church has sowed this harvest before us. It wasn't us who spread the Bible around the world. People for 2,000 years have spread the Bible around the world. The church is reaping the grain of that grain harvest, the first harvest. And that is the end to which we are contributing momentarily here as we make an offering, as we take up the offering. We are funding the laborers in that harvest. And so Pentecost celebrates the completion of the harvest. Therefore, it is prophetic. It is yet to be completely fulfilled. So my points were that the holy days were tied to the crops. All the holy days were to be kept in their seasons with the harvest in mind. And then the first harvest ends today at Pentecost. This is the end of the harvest. And because the first harvest is not complete, thirdly, then Pentecost is prophetic. It represents the work still before us. The fields are still white for that harvest.